Welcome to River Life Podcasts. We're a church family embracing the Father's presence, releasing empowered people to declare and demonstrate Christ's kingdom. We trust that God would use what you hear today to bless and grow you so that you would be a blessing to those around you. For more information about River Life Baptist Church, go to riverlifechurch.org.au or find us on social media.
I'd like to start with a question, and it's, what has been on your mind lately? You know, 3 months ago, I snapped my Achilles tendon while boxing. And this moment here of standing before you without any crutches, being with you, has been on my mind. And I got to tell you, it feels pretty good to be with you tonight. It feels good to be in this house. You know, sometimes in life you're presented with an opportunity for change, and other times you have to change to readjust to a new situation. As for me, I had found myself in a situation where suddenly I found I couldn't walk. You know, simple things became so difficult. I couldn't drive. I couldn't mow my grass with crutches. I tried. You know, taking a shower suddenly became this big event every day, most days. Because you had to leave the crutches outside of the shower door, and then you gotta hop in there with one foot, and it's a soapy, wet floor, and you're thinking, what could go wrong, right? One day, I remember, I hop in there, the crutches, to my horror, slid down, and somehow wedged between the wall and the shower door, and suddenly I became trapped like this. And I was trapped for quite some time, until Beck came along and freed me, which took some convincing. There was another day where I was really craving ice cream. Ben and Jerry's chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream. That was going to be the trick. So I was feeling it. I wanted it. But nobody was home. I couldn't drive. And I knew I looked a mess. I mean, I hadn't shaved for days. Shower was questionable. I was a mess. And I'm thinking, okay, I've looked it up in Google, and it tells me it's 850 meters. I can do this. If I'm really quick, nobody will even see me. It's okay that I haven't showered. It's okay. No one's going to see me. I was wrong. I hope you never have a moment in your life when you find yourself hobbling down the street, looking like a mess, smelling like a mess, and suddenly you hear the most frightening words as you proudly hold the ice cream in your hand, a gigantic pail. Oh, look, it's Pastor Ryan. It's not like you can just run away. You know, I was told that the biggest challenge after surgery was going to be rethinking my reality, adjusting to my new reality, to change my mind for a changed life. I want you to tell your neighbor, change your mind, change your life. Go ahead. How many of us know that Jesus constantly offered this opportunity to readjust our thinking? If you were to look in Mark chapter 1:15, Jesus says this, "The time has come, the kingdom of God has drawn near, repent and believe the good news." In other words, he's saying, through me, this long anticipated moment of real change entering into the world is begun. The word repent literally translates as change your mind. Change your mind. Realign with the good news of the kingdom. Change your mind. Change your life. You know, a few years ago, I was in Vancouver, and I saw a homeless man lifting up a cardboard sign, and I'll never forget that moment. It said on this sign, "Keep your money, I want real change." And I think for a lot of people want real change. And we're in an age where you might think it might be easy, but it's not. We have access to so much information. We have inspiring podcasts. We have, you know, so much images, daily quotes. You think it would be easy, but it's not. It's not. not where we need it most. Let's be real for a moment. There is an epidemic of addiction in our society. We have all sorts of meaningless activity that distracts us, opportunity for mindless activity. And people use these things as a mental escape from a reality many feel powerless to change. Maybe that's why Alpha's tagline attracts so many people who haven't heard about Jesus. It says, there must be more to life than this. In our last Alpha event here at River Life, we actually had over 30 participants exploring Jesus together, exploring real change. The latest Barna research reported that 82% of people who go through Alpha will end up making a commitment to Jesus. I find that incredibly encouraging. That's amazing. That means that if you are willing and prepared to bring a friend along for just a few weeks, you can actually, with high probability, change their life forever. Real change. And people are looking for it. And they're wondering where to find it. And we have the answer. If you've been tracking along with us during our series, you'll know that we're using a passage in Luke chapter 10 for our Real Change series. And we've been exploring these topics of how do we love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. And today we're looking at the topic of loving God with our minds. Now, the Hebrew word for the word mind, it meant more than just thinking. It actually meant more than that. It meant like our mental life, our moral life. And it could easily translate to something like soul, spirit, or heart. And there are many ways in which we could define the mind and how we're going to love God. But for tonight's purposes, I want to define it like this. It means aligning our thoughts with God. As in allowing God's word in our life to shape our thoughts. Why are we here? Where are we going? And consequently, how should I live then? As a follower of Jesus, as a student, as a brother, as a sister, as a citizen, as a friend. Because this internal love of God always expresses itself in external ways. Real change, says Jesus. The time has come. Rethink your life. Whatever you're going through, reimagine my reality. Think on it. Change your mind, change your life. Would you pray with me as we open God's word? Heavenly Father, come and change lives tonight. Come and speak to us in powerful ways in which we know your truth and we begin to line up that lives would be cast down, things that have been holding us back, cast away as we recognize a Savior, something more, something greater. Speak to us now, we pray. What God's people said, amen. Luke 10, 25 through 28, our core passage of our series, it goes like this. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do? Now, eternal life meant more than just a future reality. And it was really discussed a lot at this time amongst the rabbis. And it meant something more like this. How can I start living towards the plan God has for my life? What must I do? And in verse 26, Jesus says, well, what's written in the law? How do you read it? And the lawyer answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. He's quoting here a Hebrew prayer called the Shema. It's based out of Deuteronomy 6, where it talks about loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, all that you are, all of your life. And then let that love flow out to all those around you, such as your neighbor. And Jesus says, you have answered correctly. Do this and you'll live. Now, the lawyer is intelligent and he's self-aware to recognize something that makes him quite uncomfortable. There is a gap between what the law is saying and the life that he's living. There is a gap between his intention and execution. Because Jesus had made it so clear that this was more than a matter of knowing the answer. It needed to be lived out. But this fully devoted love of God as a way of life sounded hard. In fact, maybe impossible. And so it says, looking for a loophole, the lawyer asks, and just how would you define neighbor? I wonder if at any point the lawyer would have considered that his own life reflected a bigger human problem. You have a history. I have a history. And if we're really honest with ourselves, we know that in our personal history, we haven't always lived up to our own ambitions, let alone God's plan. In fact, there was never a time in the Old Testament where people were living into the fullness that God had in mind. It seemed that every chapter a new law was given, the next chapter that law was being broken. If there was a New Year's resolution list, it would be the same each year. Don't eat this fruit. Oops. Don't make idols. Oops. Don't forget to love God. Oops. Over and over again. And so the lawyer is asking a very human question. What must I do? Because I have a history that seems to be keeping me from my destiny. What should I do? Let me tell you something I hope you already know. That whatever your history, whatever it may be, God has a plan for your life. Maybe you've been dealt a bad hand in your circumstances. Maybe you've been the one dealing the bad hands. But God has a destiny in mind for you. You have a destiny. And Jesus didn't water down the truth. He didn't lower the bar to try to make it easier for us. He didn't just say, well, just try harder to be a good person. He told the lawyer, do this and live. But in upholding this law, in upholding the standard, he offered a twist of grace that no mere teacher could ever offer. In Matthew 5:17, he says, do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to get rid of them, but to fulfill them. Can you hear it? Jesus is making a way for us to live up to our destiny in himself. What must I do is answered by the message that Jesus came announcing as good news. Come, follow me. For those seeking real change in their life, Jesus declares, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Come, follow me. I am the means to your destination. You see, Jesus has made himself the central point of history, paving a way for a new way to think, a new way to live. And so he says in Mark 1:15, the time has come. The kingdom of God has drawn near. Repent and believe the good news. It's an invitation to realign our lives. The time is here where God has stepped into history to make way for our destiny. And it's a message that amazed the crowds. It amazed the crowds. Why? Because it says it came with power and authority. It was really working. God's work was changing lives. In John chapter 20, we hear echoes of Genesis when God first breathes life into Adam. But in John 20, Jesus breathes on his disciples and says, receive the Holy Spirit. I'm empowering you to change your mind, to change your life. And as people aligned with Jesus, it was like breathing new life, eternal life. They're getting a taste of it. And as they tasted it, it was amazing. Lives are they're being healed. Lame people were walking. Blind people were seeing. The mentally ill, they were being restored. It was incredible, with power and authority. It was so refreshing, Peter came up with a new breathman idea in that very moment. He called it the fisherman's friend. Uh-huh. For a people.
More.
I'll give it to you. It's coming. For a people once powerless for real change, suddenly it was happening. Suddenly lives are changing. Suddenly the kingdom was breaking in. And they wanted more. They wanted more. What must I do? Real change. So what does it mean to love God with all of our minds? Well, in short, aligning our thoughts with Him. Our mind actively choosing to live in agreement with the kingdom. And it takes practice. It's even been described by some as a battle. And it is. Every day we have these internal and external pressures to let our minds be shaped by things other than God. We've got external pressures in our social life, in work demands, in our classrooms, in our families' expectations of us. You know, these are all fine things, but they make lousy dictators. And then we have these internal pressures. We have our self-talk, we have our mental conversations with ourselves, our thoughts and beliefs, and mixed into all these things, Jesus warns us that there is an enemy out there that's seeking to kill, steal, and destroy. So there is a battle going on in our minds, in our thought life, and it can easily leave us feeling confused, feeling distracted, believing lies, and they leave us feeling powerless for real change. Paul advises this in 2 Corinthians 10:5. We demolish then arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive, therefore, every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Eugene Peterson puts it another way. He says, we use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of a life shaped by Christ. You know, I have a confession to make. There are mornings that I wake up and I don't think everything is sunshine and rainbows with glitter on top. I don't. I get overwhelmed by people's expectations of me at times. You know, I worry about failure. I'm unsure how to even prioritize my day at times because I've got 1,000 thoughts going through my mind. It's a battle. But the key to keep moving forward has always been the same. I've got to come to Jesus in my quiet time, to come and know His Word, to seek Him in prayer, to practice this discipline of taking every thought captive to Christ. My mind has to get to God's truth so that every loose thought and emotion that I'm experiencing in my life can be shaped by the presence of Jesus in my life. That's the answer. And if you were to ask Beck, she would tell you, every morning my alarm gets me up earlier than I would like. And I stumble out to grab my Bible and some coffee. Because I got to know God's word for my life because it's a battle out there. I got to get ready. If I'm not ready, I'm not going to be going forward. The answer to the battle in our minds is letting God shape our thoughts. But I want to offer you tonight 3 strategies on how to do this. The first one is this. Get out of the dirt. You got to know truth. In Luke 15, Jesus tells the story of a prodigal son who runs off to a distant land, squanders the inheritance, and soon the son is so poor that he's taken a job feeding the pigs. And soon he's so hungry that he's longing to eat the pig food, the slop. And he's sitting in the dirt thinking about his life until he remembered truth. Jesus said, one day he came to his senses. Why am I here sitting in the dirt? Truth. I don't belong with the pigs. I shouldn't be sitting here. I have got to go. I have got to get out of here. I have got to get out of this place. I have got a father who loves me. I've got a home to go home to. And he's off and he's running to the Father's embrace. He knew the truth. Jesus said in John 8:32, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Without truth in our life, the enemy will have us believing all the lies that will keep our minds in the dirt. You don't belong here. Lie. You don't have value. Lie. You are what people are saying you are. Lie. You're only as good as your Instagram account. Lie. Your life is going nowhere. Lie. But if you are believing those lies, you're going to live like they're true. And they're going to have power over your life. That's why Ephesians 5:14 says, wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead and Christ will shine on you. Change your mind. Change your life. So how are we going to do this? What's our response in our life going to be? The first one is this. We get our minds out of the dirt by knowing the truth. We got to know the truth. You know, we need more than a revival of feelings towards God. We also need a revival in our knowledge of God. Hosea 4:6 reads like this, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. If we don't know the truth, we will never come to our senses. We won't recognize when our minds have been set to pig until we start downloading from the truth school of God. We'll just keep eating the slop that life throws our way day after day after day until one day we wake up and come to our senses and say, that's enough. My thinking isn't lining up with what God is saying. I've had enough. I changed my mind. Second way we're going to respond is this. We realign our thinking patterns. You know, you can put yourself in a mental prison if you wake up each morning telling yourself a lie. If you believe your marriage has no hope and cannot change, you can't possibly come into agreement with a God who wants to speak life in your relationship. Every single conversation, if you believe that other person won't change, is always going to be filtered through a broken lens. And we'll never have the opportunity to let God change your mind, to speak life, to bring hope. You're going to be stuck in the same old patterns that brought you to that point in the first place. The way we think about ourselves, our spouse, our sibling, our coworkers, it shapes the opportunities that God wants to present for real change. If you tell yourself each day that you aren't loved, if you tell yourself that you're not fitting in, if you tell yourself that you can't experience the joy and peace and goodness of God in your life, if you tell yourself that you can't stop an addiction, guess what? You probably won't. And Jesus says, change your mind. Change your life. Instead of thinking those negative things and dwelling on them, that you deserve better, that you deserve a better pay packet, a better relationship, that you need, you know, something more out of life than you're deserving, think positively. Think about kingdom. Realign your thoughts. Pray prayers that say something like, God, help me change my attitude towards my boss. God, teach me how to speak words of life into that relationship that's broken. God, I thank you for your provision. You've brought me this far. You'll never let me go. Teach me to trust you where I think I need more. Jesus came, destroying these broken patterns of thinking in our lives by saying, realign your thoughts with me. Philippians 4:8 reads, whatever then is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Second strategy in this battle of our minds is this: don't compromise. It's going to take discipline. In Genesis 25, there's a story that's told of Jacob and Esau, their brothers. And it's a lesson in compromise. One day Esau comes home and he's hungry from being out all day. And Jacob, he's been busy cooking up a pot of stew in the kitchen. And Esau says as he comes in the door, I'm starving. Give me some food. And Jacob responds by saying, first, sell me your birthright. Now, this birthright was Esau's future inheritance. It was a blessing that he was going to receive from the father. So this is a bad trade. If you're understanding this right, Jacob is wanting the blessing, and Esau is wanting dinner. Esau should have never agreed to this trade, right? But he's flippant. He's impulsive. He's not thinking about his future, and the deal was made. Esau compromised his entire future based on a temporary feeling. And that might sound silly to us, but let me tell you, people are making these choices every day. In the battles of our minds, people are choosing to compromise their future based on temporary situations. So what are we going to do? How are we going to respond by not compromising our thinking? The first way is this: we live by what we know, not what we feel. The reason we're called to love God with all of our minds is because feelings make great servants, but terrible masters. You know, if I have a chocolate bar in front of me and an apple in front of me, almost every day of the week, I'm going to want the chocolate bar. I feel like I want the chocolate bar. But I know I need the apple, and I normally end up eating both. But in real life, we live by what we know, not what we feel. You might not feel like getting counseling. You may not feel like speaking kindly to somebody. You may not feel like exercising. But we live by what we know, not what we feel. Because feelings got Esau a bowl of stew. Thinking got Jacob an inheritance. And as we start to align our thoughts with God, we have to begin to ask ourselves, are there places I'm trading my future for a bowl of stew? That I'm making decisions based on a temporary situation? We should never find ourselves making permanent decisions based on a temporary situation. Second way we respond, we live by Christ, not by culture. G.K. Chesterton once wrote this. He said, a dead thing can go with the stream, but only a living thing can go against it. You know, for all the talk of freedom in our culture, there's a lot of pressure to conform, isn't there? Just float with the times. Get along with what everyone else is thinking. Social commentator Mark Sayers, he was reflecting on the history of Australia, and he concluded something important. He said, in the current climate of our culture, most people desire the kingdom without the king. We want the kingdom without the king. We want all the benefits that the kingdom speaks of, and where our history has brought us to this point where we have these freedoms, dignity, social support, flourishing of life, peace. But we don't want to align ourselves with the king anymore. That's considered to be a personal matter. You should just keep it to yourself. And if you suggest anything otherwise, it's considered offensive. I can't help but think of Joshua in those times like this, when Joshua 24, it says in verse 15, "If serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And in this church, in this community, we bend the knee to Christ, not culture, don't we? Christ alone, not culture. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Third strategy in the battlefield of our mind is this: we live towards the victory. We got to have vision. Hebrews 12:1-3 says, "And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down then at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary, that you will not lose heart." In the battles of our mind, therefore, we live towards the victory, and it requires vision. It says, "For the joy set before him, Christ endured," because he had a vision of being with us, you and I. The cross was temporary, but this vision, this hope was eternal. And so we are told, be encouraged. Don't grow weary. Don't lose heart. Keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. His joy became our victory. And so how do we respond? We keep living towards the victory. Over and over again. The first thing I want you to do in this stage is prepare for battle. You got to get ready. You know, I like to box, but I've found that there is nothing that hits harder than life itself. Life has a way of just hitting you. Life has a way of putting you up on the ropes. Life has a way of knocking you down. You're going to get hit, you're going to get knocked down, and you have an enemy that would like to keep you down if you let him. Unless you know the truth of God's vision for your life, you'll never know how to respond when life throws a hit your way. We prepare by battle each day, knowing that God's word, God's truth is bigger than whatever our circumstance is. That we bend the knee, we hear his voice each and every morning, every day. And we keep our eyes fixed on him. That's where we learn to keep moving when we take a hit. That's where we learn how to keep moving forward when we've been knocked down. It's at the cross we remember that whatever happens in our life, whatever circumstance we're going through, whatever battle we're facing, whatever challenge that confronts us in this moment here and now, even in death itself, new life will come. We have to be able to tell ourselves that today I might be down, I might be knocked down, but tomorrow is going to be a new day. That today I might be walking with a limp, but I know that tomorrow I've got dreams of running ahead. I've got a future. I'm not going to live according to the circumstances that I'm currently going through. I'm not going to live according to my history. I'm going to live according to the destiny that God's calling out in my life. I've got to do it. I've got to change my mind. I've got to change my life. Because I have an enemy that wants to keep me with the pigs. I'm going to live towards the victory. And that might take us to accepting the right kind of losses. Each of us have areas in our thinking that need a realignment. We can play mind games with ourselves. Did you know that? We can say things like, "I don't have to change. That's just me. I'm just being myself. That's authentic me." Have you ever considered that God has a greater vision for authentic you? Greater purposes. A greater vision. And there might be something in our thinking patterns that needs to die so you can have new life. If you find yourself thinking things like, who's going to find out? I'm not hurting anyone. I'll quit once I get what I need. Maybe it's time for a realignment with God. We need to learn how to accept the right losses because of a greater vision of a greater gain. Our third and final strategy is this, and always this. We focus on the victory. We focus on the victory because whatever happens, the author of life is writing our story. And he's given it a brilliant finish. Whatever we're going through. I don't know if you heard Nick earlier, but he already told you we're on the winning team. Second Corinthians 4:16 says, Therefore, we don't lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, though outwardly our lives might seem like a mess, though outwardly we're getting punched against the ring, we're knocked down, though outwardly we're wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs all of them. Whatever we're going through. And so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, whatever we're going through, temporary, it's going to change. But what is unseen, our vision, God's vision for our life, the promise that we hold on to, that is eternal. Can't take that away. Change your mind. Change your life. Oh, we know we have a history. But we have a destiny. And if we want real change, we got to get our minds out of the dirt. Don't compromise. We live towards the victory. And how are we going to accomplish this? Taking every thought captive to Christ. Real change. I began this message with a question for you to consider. It was, what has been on your mind lately? What's been on your mind? What have you been thinking about? What have you been worried about? What have you been hoping for? What's been on your mind? And as we finish up, we're going to be listening to a few psalms. They're prayers to God. And most of them are coming from King David. I want to tell you that King David had a history. It was sordid. It was colorful. But you know what he knew how to do? He knew how to realign his thoughts on God and the greater vision God had in mind. And so as we listen to some of these words, I want you to chew on them and think about whatever you're going through. I want you to think about how David is realigning his mind on Christ. And consider the invitation of how God is inviting you tonight to realign with him in a new and greater way. So we're going to do that now. Just listen in. You can close your eyes. You can get comfortable. Whatever it takes for you. Just think about what's on your mind as we hear these words.
The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. The ways of the Lord are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey, than any honeycomb that you will find. By them, your servant is guided. In keeping them, there is great reward. For who can discern the error of their own ways? Forgive, Lord, my hidden faults. May these words of my mouth and the meditation of my mind be pleasing in your sight. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have preserved my life. Save me, for I am yours. I have sought out your ways. I have sought your precepts. You, Lord, you keep my lamp burning. My God has turned my darkness into light. With your help, I can advance against any troop, and with my God, I can scale a wall. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing your soul. Lord, you alone are our cup and our portion. You make our lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful future. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, his word will instruct me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord, for with him at my right hand, I will not be shaken.
I invite you to stand with me at this time. We'll have the worship team come out. And as you stand, I'd like you to keep your eyes closed for a moment. Father, we come before you as a broken people. Father, for our greatest ambitions, we recognize that we have a history, but tonight we're laying that down. And there are parts of our thinking that need to die. There are lives that we have believed that we're not good enough, that we're not strong enough for your love and your invitation. Father, I pray that you would just be touching hearts at this moment. Spirit, come. Spirit, come. May we run lightly and freely. Father, that we would not be held down by the enemy. We would get our minds out of the dirt because you have something more in mind, a greater vision for our lives. So with eyes fixed on you tonight, we're saying, God, bring more. I want more. I'm the first to raise my hand for that. Yes, realign my thinking towards you. And if that's you tonight, you're saying, yeah, I want more. I need to realign in a new, fresh way. I want to step out with greater courage. I want more in my life. Realign my thoughts. I want real change. Just raise your hand. Say, yeah, yes, I want more. I want more. That's fantastic. Arms all the way around the room. That's beautiful. Jesus, come. You've called us at River Life to a great purpose, and the enemy would like to keep us down. But Lord, make us a sign and symbol of your kingdom that's bringing life, new life into the city of Brisbane. Holy Spirit, move in powerful ways with power and authority. Breathe on us that we may tell your story of redemption, of love, of coming home to a Father's embrace. For people looking for real change, Father, we want more. Come. Come, Spirit.
Thanks for listening to this River Life podcast. Make sure you subscribe to keep up to date with all the latest content. If this podcast has raised any questions for you, contact us via church@riverlifechurch.org.au or through Facebook and Instagram. Thanks for listening.